Welcome to Land Academy.
I'm Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We show you how to buy real estate for half of what it's worth
and sell it on the internet really fast.
We are Jack and Jill,
and this is the Jack and Jill Show 2.
With over 15,000 completed transactions, we're the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price and flipping them for way more.
All right, let's get this show started.
Jill DeWitt with Jack Butella here.
Hello today.
Welcome to our show. In this episode, Jack and I talk about why this really can be this easy. Awesome show today. Super excited. First, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landacademy.com free online community.
Awesome. Josh asked, the owners, husband and wife, are alive but not well. They're alive and not well and are not able to meet with a notary to sign. The son-in-law is handling their estate and has power of attorney for their assets and says that he can sign off on the property for them. He has all the needed documents, and I am unsure how to word the new deed to buy it from them. Do I put it in the property's names on the deed, or does the POA simply sign for them, the son? Or do I put a spot with a son-in-law's name as power of attorney? And that's the gist of it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Jill?
Well, first of all, the grantor and the grantee and all that good stuff, that doesn't change. So whatever the grantee was, you know, if it's mom and dad's names, you know, however it was, that you still word it the exact same way. And then you're on the right track, Josh. When you get to the end and you're getting ready to sign, you're going to have the son who has a power of attorney sign, but you're going to say, as power of attorney for XYZ document, it's got to be worded just right. And my little tip of what I do in this situation, there's a power of attorney and there's legal stuff going on. There's probably an attorney involved. And this attorney has already been advising the son how to sign for things like these. So that's what I would first ask him. Okay, how does your attorney have it worded on everything else that you've signed up until this point? And I would copy that. Jack?
Yeah, there's two types of powers of attorney in general. And I don't want to make this a legal show at all. There's a specific power of attorney, which you issue to do one specific thing, like sign over property. And then there's a universal power of attorney. And they're named different types of things where they just handle the whole estate. And chances are, if mom and dad are incapacitated, this is a universal power of attorney. And so that makes it a lot easier. In some cases, you may or may not need to see that document. And in some rare cases, the county may or may not need to see that document. And it might need to be recorded. Jill's mm-hmm. advice is perfect. The attorney that's involved already on the estate will tell exactly what to do.
Exactly. And basically, too, when you have a power of attorney, you're never like forging that person's name. That doesn't mean that gives you that authority to do that. You're still signing your own name. So the son is going to sign his name as the power of attorney, and then however it's worded. And Jack brought up a really good point. Another great way to check is to check with the county and say, all right, so I've got it all filled out correctly. Do you need me to record the, you know, substantiating evidence of this, you know, the document to support this along with the deed? And they'll tell you yes or no. So that's a good another little thing.
That's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this question is based on the fact that this person is doing this deal. You know, I mean, they're actually doing deals.
Yeah.
Our members are doing deals. So, you know, this is not what happens if this is happen. This is a real situation. And Josh, I don't know their last name. We have multiple Joshes, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to get it done.
We know what else is nice. This is a clear example of Josh solving a problem for these people. This kid, who's obviously taken over the property for his parents, was probably scratching his head going, how am I going to sell this property? Who's going to want this property? What am I going to do with this property? Do I just let it go back to the county with this property? But Josh is coming along and saying, hey, I know how to do this. I'm going to solve this for you, and I'm going to give you some money for it. And I'm sure that people are jumping up and down.
Yeah, if they're incapacitated like this, they're in their kind of like estate planning mode anyway. Mm-hmm. You can just check this off the list.
Exactly.
So it's we Jill and I do a lot of deals like this,
mm-hmm.
where it's end of life scenarios and you're just helping people. If you're brand new at this, it's really hard to understand until you go through it. When someone's saying, thank you so much for helping me with this, even though you're buying an asset for less than you can sell it for.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If you have a question or you want to be on the show, reach out to either one of us on landacademy.com. Today's topic, the meat of the show, why? This is one of Jill's favorite topics. But Jill talks to new members all the time, and they ask this question. Is it really this easy? What's the catch? I don't believe it.
Exactly. It's so funny because the reason I wanted to cover this today is because of one of our members who we had so many conversations leading up to him saying, all right, I'm going to try this. And including, and not just me, I mean, and him, he reached out to us, but one of his good friends is in our world and doing deals, and he's still standing back scratching his head going, something can't be right here. I don't know. And it's so funny because this individual, you had a deal review, didn't you, Jack? Or it was not a data thing. It was a deal review that you guys were going over together. And you basically hung up the phone and came to me and said, this guy still goes, wait a minute, is it really this easy? You know, kind of thing. and I thought, it's funny.
I'm not going to name any names, but he's an accountant and I'm a former accountant. And so we both kind of have the same problems.
Ah, yes. You guys, well, you're good at the data. You understand that.
Yeah, there's no technical issues.
No technical issues. You know, that's interesting. You know what? That's a good point. If you're a technical person and you can see and manipulate data, this is even easier for you. So for some folks who like me, I don't have a data background. That's not my thing. That's why I have you.
Yeah.
I'm good at the other parts. But the whole big picture about, gosh, wait a minute, I'm sending out an offer. These people are opening my letter. They're reading it. They're saying yes to my offer. Now they're sending it back and standing there waiting for me to call them and make the deal happen. Wait, what am I missing? And you're not missing anything.
You know, everybody brings past experiences in real estate to this environment. And they vary from, I got stung 10 years ago. I heard this comment last week. I got stung in a real estate deal 10 years ago, and that was it for me until I found out about you guys. And what you're saying is making a lot of sense. You're really simplifying the whole process. You're taking the lender out. You're taking the real estate agents out of the deal. You're taking everybody out of the deal except the buyer and the seller and a cashier's check.
Exactly.
It's the way it should be, you know. But over the years, everybody brings something to this.
That's very true.
You hear your parents, some people say, my parents bought a house and sold it 30 years later, and they made $4 million, especially in California.
Right.
And so I'd like to do that 16 times. And I said, well, great, you found the right place.
Yeah.
Or they're tragic other way. You know, here's what not to do. This is a little bit off topic, but I'm going to do it anyway. If you peruse the MLS for a house, and you pick one out, and you negotiate a purchase price, let's say $10,000 off. You go get a loan. The real estate agent on the buy side and the sell side makes a bunch of money. The loan officer makes money. The bank makes money. The inspector makes money. And a bunch of other people make money. Everybody makes money except you. So maybe all people come to us like that with that experience. And man, it doesn't have to be like that.
No.
It really is this easy. Now this is on topic.
Exactly. Good point. That was great, Jack. I appreciate that. I still come back to also what that one of our people said recently, which is, you know, I've never lost $20,000 on a land deal. I'm sure you could do it all wrong, but that's typical for, they think what we're doing is like flipping and fixing up and moving walls and those HGTV funny shows.
Yeah.
And what we do is really, before that point, it's very different, you know, and it's just reaching a lot of people, not looking at the asset, looking at 10,000 and seeing what comes back. Does that make sense?
Yeah, we're
spending
a
large net.
We're land wholesalers, and we source transactions by sending out unsolicited offers based on using data extremely intelligently. Mm-hmm. We're really data people that happen to be in the real estate business.
That's it.
We're not. Real estate is just kind of what we buy and sell. It's really all about data.
Because it's got the highest returns.
And
which
it's
is true. You know, it's like we could do this with cars, but I don't really want to do it with cars. And we're going to stick a car.
I have done it with cars.
Right.
And we will be doing a program not in 2017, but in 2018, we will be expanding to show you how to wholesale cars. Mm-hmm. Here's the kicker. You find a dealership or a dealer that wants to buy cars, and now you have a buyer. So you just go out and find the sellers. The same way we use the data that here. You mm-hmm. just send them unsolicited offers.
Right. My thing is, though, too, like with what you just said about the car thing, I look at it like I want to do this or I will do this, and you have, with like classic cars.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, what? So,
and you know how bad that failed, and here's why. Because I love classic cars.
I know.
So you can't get married to your real estate or your cars and you start lugging it and using it, and then you don't make any money.
Exactly. I love it. I'm trying to think. Really, it comes down to how we do it. And I think you're right. People get hung up on the back end stuff, like talking to the seller. Or they get hung up on some of the details, like doing a deed. God, that's got to be hard. And getting it recorded, that's got to be hard. And do I need a title agent? You know, and taking 30 days. And none of that's true. No, it's just like, you know, like we do talk about cars a lot. We haven't talked about it in a while. It's just like buying a car off Craigslist. If you think of it like that. You find a couple $1,000 car, you know, and you meet the guy, you hand him a check, he hands you the keys. And then you go back into the motor vehicles and you put it now in your name, the title's in your name.
It's the same thing we do with land.
That's it. So it is that easy. People you have to wrap your head around it a little bit. Because I think too, most people have only done residential, like their own homes. And like you just said, Jack, then now you have lenders involved and banks involved. And it has to appraise, that's involved. When I buy a car, you know, it's funny. Say I buy a car from a guy on Craigslist and I go to the DMV and I go to put the title in my name. They're not going to stop me and go, oh, honey, you overpaid. It's really only worth this. You know, it didn't appraise that high, you know, kind of thing. We're not going to let this happen. No, it is going to happen. I've already paid the person.
For lots of reasons. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they need money that day. Maybe they just want to get rid of the car. They want to check it off their list. Mm-hmm. And people sell land for the same reason, and houses mm-hmm. and every other asset. Boats, planes, all that stuff.
Yep.
The key is this. It's a database-driven acquisition flow line. Okay? You can't do this with a $5 list from China for everybody who owns a Toyota 4Runner between the years of 2007 and 2009. That list could be 80 years old. We don't know. Not 80, because the math doesn't work there, but you have to have an active DMV database where you pull data from it and scrub it properly, or else you're wasting your time, the seller's time, and spend a lot of money on postage you don't need to. So to cap it like this, it is that easy, but you need to learn how to, from us or anybody, manipulate data.
Exactly. And have the right tools, the access to get it, and right. Do it cheap and all that. So
join us in another episode where Jack and Jill discuss how to use information, that's me,
and inspiration, that's me,
to get just about anything you want.
We use it every day to buy property for half of what it's worth and sell it immediately.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. That was a fun show.
That is good.
It really is that easy, you know? Some of our shows get real technical. This is really, I mean, and it takes a couple of members to say, hey, come on, what's the catch?
It's true.
You know, like this really came up clearly for me because this member specifically is an accountant,
mm-hmm.
and I am too. So we were speaking the same language.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's interesting. I have to I get so excited about this because it really is easy and fun and exciting for me. So when I talk to brand new people, they're like reaching out going, all right, Jill, what is this all about? You know, what are you guys doing? I just saw you on social media, or I just found your podcast, and they schedule a call with me, and I've learned I have to kind of tone it down a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I...
Me too.
It is that easy. I don't want to... I don't want to say scare them away, but sometimes I feel like they're like, okay, wait a minute. There really has to be a catch. No, there is none. You know, and there's...
I really think people and consumers are concerned about and really afraid of getting disappointed. They've been disappointed. And so not just with like real estate education or... But they just get disappointed. They get let down because there's so much crap out there.
Oh, you're right. You know what? And it's here we are. It is kind of funny too. You're right, Jack. We're so here and available and transparent and real people and doing the deals I don't know. I does that even make it seem like this really can't be real? Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I mean, you just told me a story about one of our new members said, look, I called your two competitors, your two land competitors, and for 2 weeks, they never called me back. They didn't contact me. They were unreachable. I emailed them. Mm-hmm. I did everything I could. And I got you on the second, you know, what?
First try.
Well, I scheduled a call with you.
And you called me right back.
Through our mechanism, and that's it. So, yeah. I don't understand.
I agree.
So he's disappointed. And, you know, hopefully we remedied that.
Exactly.
No, I have a long history of disappointing women, but just not, like, business-wise.
Oh, so.
Information and inspiration to buy undervalued property.
We are Jack and Jill, and this was the Cashflow from Land Show.
We are the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price, just so we can flip it for way more.
And really fast. Thanks for listening. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.